Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Mashiach and Geula class. Thanks for joining. For those who make sure to please mute yourself, I think it's star 62. I'm not sure, whatever. I keep on forgetting. In any case, we are holding in Parshas Lech Lecha. In the Parsha, the port, we're learning about... just give me one second. I want to just fix my phone that I shouldn't get any phone calls in the middle. I forgot to do this, so give me just one second here to make that correction. Hold on just a second. Here we go. Okay. Now it's going to be much better. All right, so we learned about the hunger in the land, Avram going down to Mitzrayim. We're really discovering how everything is gewaldig. It's gewaldig. It really is unbelievable how the stories are so can be read from a whole different frequency and a whole different layer, and Mashiach is so evident in every pasuk and in every turn. The Medrash says on Vehi Rav, but I don't remember if I said this last time, being the class was 2 weeks ago. I think I wanted to say it, but I didn't get to this. The Medrash says that on the words Vehi Rav Ba'aretz, that there was a hunger in the land, the Medrash describes that there is going to be 10 hungers, 10 famines. Yudra Avin Bol Olam, 10 famines come to the land. And the first one, it goes through the various different... He says, actually, the Medrash says that it was already a hunger in the days of Adam HaRishon, which I don't know where we have the record of that. You have the Ra'av of Avram Avinu, and then finally there's going to be La'asid Lavi when Mashiach comes. And it says over there in Amos, in Sefer Amos, in Perek Tes, it says, Hine yamim bo'im le'um Hashem, behold, days are coming, says Hashem. Vishlachti rov ba'aretz, I will send a hunger in the land, le rov lechem, not a hunger for bread, v'le tzama lamayim, not a thirst for water, kiyum lishmayas divrei Hashem. Now interesting, in the simple meaning of that pasuk, this is not at all referring to any kind of it's not a positive thing, it's a negative situation. It's saying that the prophecy is going to end amongst the Jewish people, and the people are going to be hungry, and we're not going to have anybody to turn to be able to hear the word of God, as we did during the time of the Beis HaMikdash when we had a Navi, and then the Navi is gone. That's the simple explanation, but the Medrash does take it that this is also a positive Nevuah, referring to the very end of days, in the time that we're living now, when there'll be a famine in the land, and meaning there will be a spiritual hunger. There'll be a thirst in mankind to know Hashem. Now, simply, this is understood many times, Chlal, that people are seeking Torah, they're seeking the word of God. But there is a sefer, a Hasidic sefer, called Ginzei Yosef. I never saw it before. It is he brings it in the sefer Yalkut Mashiach and Geula. And it's a sefer by a Rabbi Yosef Bloch, who, he says in the back, was one of the Talmidim of the Magid. I was intending to do a little research on him. It's the first time I heard of him. One of the colleagues of the Alter Rebbe, one of the students of the Holy Magid. So he made a sefer Ginzei Yosef. So he says that this Nevuah prophecy is actually referring to a particular prophecy that is related to mamish moments before, a little short time before Mashiach comes, is that there will be a hunger for the Word of God, is a particular quest for Pnimius HaTorah, for the inner dimension of Torah. There's going to be a thirst in the world to know Hashem, to get knowledge of Chassidus and the higher inner part of the Torah. He brings over here that this great thirst that's going to come in the world. However, we need to make a little Isarusa de Latata. We need to make a little Isaidus. We need to make a little bit of a movement from below to become worthy and open to this great thirst from above that is going to cause an expansionist in our minds and our hearts, with a deep yearning for the esoteric and inner dimension of the Torah. As he says, that's why the pasuk continues after Hine Yamim Boim Ne'um Hashem Vishlachti Rov Ba'aretz. The pasuk says V'na'u Miyam Ad Yam, that the people are going to travel from sea to sea. Simply, it's referring to the people are going to go from one side of the land of Eretz Yisrael to the other side of the land of Eretz Yisrael, which are two is bordered by two seas, in order to seek out the word of God, to look for the Navi. But he explains it metaphorically, that the Talmud, the Gemara, the Talmud is called the Yam, it's called the ocean. It's called the Yam HaTalmud, it's referred to it many times. And when people are the Tanoim and the Amaroim and all those that, and people that delve into, it's like going scuba diving in this vast sea of knowledge. And as you go and explore deep under the waters, is like all the Talmudic sages throughout history that have been doing their explorations in the Yam HaTalmud. But the meaning over here is, but there's another Yam. And he says the word Yam, if you rearrange the letters, the word Yam also comes from the word Mi. Mi means, it's a question, who, which is referring to Bina. Bina is called 50, because 50 gates of Bina. And over there, it's a type of knowledge that you're always inquiring about, because you can't really wrap your mind around it, because we're talking about divine knowledge. We're talking about knowing of God, knowing of Hashem that is infinite and Ein Sof. So he says the meaning of vino'u, as a result of that hunger, or to prepare for that hunger, vino'u miyam ad yam, people will leave the Yam HaTalmud, meaning for thousands of years, the quest of knowledge amongst the Jewish people was kind of satisfied, at least by the masses, in the knowledge of the extra, whatever you call it, attic. I don't know what the word is. Whatever it is. It's the word of the, meaning the nigla, the revealed part of the Torah. So people are satisfied with the Yam HaTalmud. And the chiddush of Yom Yisrael Mashiach is that people are going to be thirsty for, they're going to go miyam, from the Yam HaTalmud, liyam, to the, like to the 50 gates of Bina, searching for Pnimiyas HaTorah. And then he brings over here a Zohar. He brings over here that the main cause of the length of the exile and the poverty amongst the Jewish people, that the Jewish people are impoverished, is because, he brings from the Zohar, Zaman degaram destalik Kabbalah, those who caused that Kabbalah, v'chachma samaraisa, and that the cause that the chachma of the Torah should depart, the b'ksav, the balpev, the lo yishtadlin behind, people that are not oisik in it. The Amrin, they say, the lo yis el pshat b'raisa, they say that all there is to the Torah is only its simple meaning. Ibetalmuda, and also in the Talmud, all that it is, the Medrash, whenever it says something, it just means the simple meaning, but it doesn't have any deeper meaning. Bevadai ki lo yistalik neviya mahu na'ar, this person causes the flow to go away from the river. Mahu Gan, and from Gan Eden, the entire flow of life, flow of godliness to the world, is being interrupted and caused to stop. Tavlan de lo yizbara ba'almid, it would have been better this person should have never have been born. V'layalef ahu ayraisa de b'ksava de balpeh, and better that the person should not study the Torah, both the written Torah and the Torah shebalpeh, because one is looking at it as something so superficial and not realizing that there is deeper meanings. Deschashiv lei, it is considered kilu achzir alma l'tayu v'vayu, like the person brought the world back to tayu v'vayu, to chaos and emptiness. V'garam aniyosa ba'alma, the Zohar says, he causes poverty to the world. V'oidach galusa, and a long and painful exile. Okay, so interesting, I looked up other Zohars, because he brings other sources in the Eitz Chaim and in the Zohar, where it says unbelievable things about this idea. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says, woe to the person who thinks the Torah is just a book of stories or just the simple meaning of it. He says, if that's what it would have been, we could go to other nations and other peoples that have written better literature than the book of the Torah. Or we can create a better Torah than this. Obviously, there is deeper secrets and secrets and secrets of secrets, and one has to know that is there. But Al Kopanim, when before Mashiach comes, this realization is really going to hit the masses, and people are going to be looking for a deeper understanding. And therefore, it says, "Veno mayam ad yam." Okay, and that's actually also one of the things that happened by Matan Torah, when Hashem gave the Torah, the Eibishter gave the Jewish people the Torah with the Pnimius HaTorah. But it says by the sin of the eagle, it says Hashem told them to take off their crowns. And the Jews gave back their crowns. And the Pasuk says, Vayinatzlu or Vayisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael, it's a Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, is the Jewish people removed as Edyam, their Edyam. So what's Edyam? Simply it means their ornaments. But he says over here it means Eid Yam. Yam means the deeper secrets of the Torah. The knowledge of the esoteric inner life, the neshama of the Torah departed them. So they were left more with the external part of the Torah, not so much with the Pnimius. But close to the days of Mashiach, there's going to be a hunger in the world to hear the word of God. And that's also related to Avram Avinu's hunger, Vahira'av Ba'aretz. And then it's interesting, the Pasuk continues when it says, V'na'u miyam ad yam, the people are going to leave, they're going to depart from the sea to the sea. So as we explained, the sea means from the Yam HaTalmud, from the ocean of Talmudic study, and they're going to delve into the esoteric, deeper elements of the Torah. In addition to that, it says, Mitzafon L'Doraim, they're going to go from the north to the... I'm sorry. It says they're going to, the people are going to be searching. It's the Pasuk in Amos. Mitzafon from the... And by the way, I'm sorry, I mentioned one thing wrong. At the beginning of the class, I said it's an Amos Perek Tes. I looked it up. It's not. It's a mistake over here. It's an Amos Perek Ches. It's supposed to be Ches. And over there, it says they will go from Yam L'Yam, and they will go Mitzafon L'Mizrach, from north to the east, which is kind of strange because it should have said from north to south, if anything. You know, you're doing the opposites. They'll go all the way across the land from the north to the south. But instead it says they will go from north to the east. So he says, what it really means is, Tzafon means the word hidden. Litzpon means to hide. On Pesach by night, one of the simanim of the Seder is Tzafon. Tzafon means we take out the hidden nafikoyman. So mitzafon means from the hidden. That means that the secrets of the Torah have been laying hidden and concealed inside the Torah, unknown to anybody. And people are going to travel mitzafon l'mizrach. Mizrach means it's going to start shining from the word zricha. The reason why east is called east, called mizrach, is because it comes from the word zoreach. That's where the sun shines from. So from tzafon, from a state of concealment where the secrets of Torah are concealed, it's going to come to a time of zricha, a time of openness. And he says, look at the words, it's just so beautiful. And that's why it's interesting. And before we get that, he says, as long as we're learning Talmud Bavli, the sages tell us, "B'machashakim heshivani, zet Talmud Bavli." In darkness, Hashem has put me. That's the Babylonian Talmud. That means it's considered a state of darkness, not because there aren't any secrets. All the secrets and all the deepest mystical Kabbalistic secrets are all hidden in the Talmud Bavli, but they're hidden in a manner that they're tzafah and they're hidden. And externally, you have darkness. That's Talmud Bavli. Mizrach means light. So we're going to leave that, and we're going to come to a place of light, of deeper understanding. He says, and the reason why we had to go in the darkness is because we had to descend into the world, to plunge into the world of Bavel. Bavel comes from the word Bilbul. It's full of klipos. And our avoid of learning and studying Talmud Bavli for thousands of years throughout history was in order to be mesakein the klipos, to break the klipos and to extract the sparks of holiness that are there. Once we're done doing that, we will come out of the darkness. U'kashiyagia yamoisa Mashiach, I'm quoting him, for fascinating words. When Mashiach will come, yiyaboyer behem, it's going to be burning in the world. Hacheshek lilmoid razen deiraisa, the desire to learn the secrets of the Torah, which the light of the Torah is the secrets of the Torah, because as the Baal Shem Tov says, that who can make, it's one of the Hayom Yoms, that who can make light, ver ken machen lichtik, who can bring light, who can illuminate, the one who knows the secret of things. because the word raz, which means secret, razin dairaisa, secrets of the Torah, raz, secret, is gematria 207. Same gematria as oir, as light. Oir is also 207. So from the darkness we will come to light, and we will thirst and yearn for the inner light of the Torah, and that's the meaning that people will come mitzafoin lamizrach, from tzafoin to mizrach, and Hashem is going to satiate the Jewish people with this knowledge. Anyways, this was just a continuation to what we spoke about earlier, vahirda'av ba'aretz, and then he goes on, which I'm not going to go into right now, how this is actually hinted to in the story of Avram going down to Mitzrayim, that approach to Mitzrayim is related to the end of days when Jews will come out from Mitzrayim. That's how he learns it. And at that time, there will be this hunger in the land. And he explains also Avram saying, you know, you claim you're my sister. This is what it means, but I don't want to go into that. Okay. Now we will continue. And Avram tells, when he gets to Mitzrayim, he tells the Aparoi that Sarah is his sister. I'm sorry. He tells Sarah, please say that you're my sister. Imri na achaisi at. You please say you're my sister so that my life won't be in danger, because if you claim that you're my wife, then they are going to kill me and take you as, so they'll be able to take you, because I guess they're afraid to take a married woman. But if they unmarry the woman by killing the husband, it should be fine. Now, it's a very interesting Rabbeinu Bachaya. Rabbeinu Bachaya on this brings from the Ramban. And he says that when Avram did that, Avram committed a terrible sin, because here he's endangering his wife for his own safety. So the words of the Ramban, Nachmanides, he says, "Hine zeh hachet shechat Avram b'shoigeg." He says, it wasn't intentional. It was a mistaken to get sin. And he says this is the reason why the Jewish people needed to be in Galus, Mitzrayim, the first Galus. You see, all other Galiyos, you read in the Navi, you read all the reasons why Chas v'Shalom we had the exile. The Galus came about because of whatever the reasons are. However, when it comes to the Galus Mitzrayim, it doesn't seem like the Torah speaks about a sin. Hashem tells Avram Avinu later in the parasha that your children are going to be in exile, but it doesn't say a reason why the Jewish people are going to be in exile. So the Ramban says we don't find any avera. So the Ramban says it was this sin that Avram did a tremendous avera when he unknowingly, but he jeopardized his wife's safety. He basically sold his wife down the creek to save his life because he was afraid. And then he goes in and he should have just trusted in Hashem. How, what, where, and when Hashem is going to take care of him. And he did an ishtadlus, an inappropriate ishtadlus. The Ramban, I mean, if anybody else would say it, besides the Ramban, we would have to, we would throw stones at him. But since it's the Ramban that says it, so we accept it. He also goes ahead and he says that Avram actually sinned even before that. Even the mere fact that he went down to Mitzrayim was considered a sin by Avram, a lack of chis bitachin. You should have, Hashem told him to go to the land of Canaan. He should have relied on him and stayed in the land of Canaan, and somehow Hashem will take care of him. He says because of this sin, the Golus Mitzrayim came about. Now, that's the Ramban. Now, Chazal tell us that the reason why Golus Mitzrayim came about was because Avram asked a question. When Hashem later, by the Bris Bein Absarim, Hashem says to him, I'm going to give you the land. Avram said, Bama Eda. How will I know that this is going to happen? I need a sign. How can I know that I can trust you? And that doubting Hashem was his sin. But Rabbeinu Bachaya says, whatever the sin was, whether it was Avram's mistake, like the Ramban says, by telling Sarah, by hiding and protecting himself and offering Sarah up to the Mitzrim, or whether Avram's mistake was that he said Bama Eda, he says in both these cases, Avram Avinu sinned only with speech. He said something wrong, and yet the punishment was a punishment of 430 years, was decreed. Eventually, it was knocked down to 210 years, but initially, the decree was for 430 years, 400 years, but we know that really it was 430 years if you count from Brisbane Absarim. When Yitzchak was born, it was 400 years. But from Brisbane Absarim, it's 430 years. And when the Golus is decreed. So Rabbeinu Bachaya says, so that shows you that the punishment of Golus for the sin, for a sin, is 430 years. What the significance of that number, he doesn't explain. But he does say, since in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish people sinned not with 400, not in only in speech, but they sinned in all three areas of thought, speech, and action. They served Avodah Zarah, which involved all three elements. Therefore, the punishment that the Golus that is now, he says, is supposed to be 3 times 430. Because the amount of Golus that comes for a punishment for sin, you see from there, Rabbeinu Bachaya says, is 430. Times that times 3, because the sin is bigger and the tikkun needs to be a larger tikkun. So 4 times 430 for the sin of Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa, which would bring us to the number 1,290. Now with this, he says, we'll understand what it says in Daniel. Daniel says like this in Sefer Daniel, Ashrei hamachake, fortunate is the one who can endure, it can wait it out, v'yagia, will be alive, liyamim elef u'masayim v'tishim, to 1,290. That seeming to imply that that's when the Geula is supposed to come, at the end of 1,290 years. Oh, he says, what's the significance of 1290? He says it's 3 times 430. It's 3 times that which was decreed to Avram Avinu because of his sin. So 1290. And he says, that's, if anybody was wise, he says, that's supposed to be the Ketz HaGeula. So if you do the math from the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash and you count 1290, you end up in the year 1358, which I don't know what happened in the year 1358. I tried to Google it, 1358, and see what was significant in the world at that time. I didn't find it. I didn't do a serious search. But azay azay, 1358 was. But now we're already, I think, something like 657 years or something like that, or less than 617. I'm not exactly sure. I did a. I'm not good in math without a calculator, but. Whatever it was, 600 and something years already over that, as we are now in the year 2075, or 2015. So, but whatever it is, that's a Ketz HaGeula that you see related to this pasuk. Maybe interesting. Maybe I should make the calculation a little different. Maybe we should, being that we're hoping for Geula this year, let's find out what happened 1,290 years back. And to see in what sense can we say that the Golus began in 1,290 years ago. I don't know. That's going to be a calculation I'm going to do at the conclusion of this year. But whatever it is, this is just an interesting number. Now, it says in the Pasuk, Vayhi Kivoy Avram, and it was when Avram arrived. Vayhi Kivoy Avram Mitzrayma. It was when Avram arrived. And here too is Merum, is the coming of Mashiach. We know that Avram, let's imagine, let's realize how important this situation is. This is the first Jew making his first step into exile. Generally, we know that from our forefathers, the one who goes to Golus is Yaakov Avinu. He really went to Golus. But Avram Avinu also had a little taste of exile when he went down to Mitzrayim. So he's the first person who's leaving Eretz Yisrael to go out of the land. And we know that Avram is paving the way for the Jewish people. So Vayhi Kivoy Avram Mitzrayim. And we know not Tchilasan B'Soifan, that the beginning is wedged in the end, V'Soifan B'Tchilasan, and the end is wedged in the beginning. So the moment, the word that puts, that where Avram is stepping into Mitzrayim, you have to have already Geula. And not Stam Geula, that Avram is coming out of his Golus, but that the Jewish people are going to come out of all Golus, Golus Mitzrayim, and even the ultimate Golus. So there's an interesting Mesaira. Mesaira means that when, you see, the Balaturim is always busy with it, that whenever you find the same word mentioned different times, you can darshan the words because you use the same words. So on the words, Vayhi ki Avram kivoy Avram. I'm looking. Oh, the Balaturim does not say it, but it's brought in a different sefer. Sefer is called Be'er Moshe. Who he's also one of the early Hasidic rabbeim. So he says an interesting thing that the word kivoy we find another two times in Tanakh or in Chumash. I don't know if the whole entire Tanakh, but we have it another two times in Tanakh in which the word kivoy is spelled with a vav. The word kivo is mentioned other times, but it's not with a vav. It's not mole. The word kivoy spelled kuf. Chaf, I'm saying, sorry, Beis, Aleph, Vav, is mentioned three times in Torah. One of them is Kivoy Avram Mitzrayim. The other one is, the Pasuk says in Devarim, it says, Kivoy HaShemesh, Moyed Seischam Mitzrayim. When the sun comes, the time that you left Egypt, Rahi Kivoy, it will come, Moyed HaShemesh, Kivoy HaShemesh, the sun sets, Moyed Seischam Mitzrayim, the time when you went to Mitzrayim. I think it's talking about the Karban Pesach over there. So that's another time it mentions the word kivoy. And the third time it mentions the word kivoy is, it says, Hashev tashev lo yasa avet, when someone takes collateral, when you're taking from a poor man, when you take away, so you take and you give him a loan, and then he doesn't have what to pay, so you come to collect your debt by taking something as a security payment. You're holding on to whatever, something that the possession. So you're holding it for collateral. So it says in the Pasuk, that when the sun sets, you have to return it to him. If it's a night, something the person needs at night. So every night, you have to go and give it back to him. So there it also says the word kivoy hashemesh. So what are these three kivoys? So here you have Mashiach. Avram Avinu already is mesaking everything. He fixes everything in that first, as soon as he puts his first foot into Mitzrayim, he's already doing a tikkun on the entire future of Jewish history. So his first tikkun that he does is the tikkun that he did for, what's the first kivoy? Kivoy Avram Mitzrayim, what's the next one? Kivoy HaShemesh Moyed Seischam Mitzrayim. And when Avram is Kivoy Mitzrayim, he's already paving the way that Kivoy HaShemesh Moyed Seischam Mitzrayim. He's already bringing about the Yetzias Mitzrayim going out of Egypt. But it's not only Yetzias Mitzrayim that he took care of. He's already bringing about the Yetzia, the going out of the ultimate galus. What's the third kivoy? It's talking about taking collateral. He says, the nations of the world, the Jewish people, are given as a mashkin. We are being held throughout, you know, Jews have been stuck in exile, in the diaspora, in the iron fist of the various different nations. Now we don't feel it that much, because as we're free to travel all over the world, because we're already holding in the time of kibbutz galiyos. But through our long history, Jews were not free to go wherever they wanted. They were stuck in ghettos. They were closed. They had a lot of travel restrictions. It was very difficult to go, especially to go up to Eretz Yisrael was not shayach for most Jews. And just recently, we had the Iron Curtain holding the Jewish people closed, not letting them out. And so that's a mashkin. Yidden are held for security. But finally, kivoy HaShemesh is referring to the coming of Mashiach. Mashiach is called Shemesh, which means the rise of Mashiach. Kivoy HaShemesh also means the sun sets, is referring the sun of the nations. That means the reign of the nations, because the nations count to the sun. When their power, when their kingdom will set, and the nations and the sun will, the dominion of the nations will go down, and then what's going to happen? Hashav teshivenu loy ha'avet. The mashkin has to be returned. And Jews are going to be delivered back to Eretz Yisrael from all across the world, as the nations in the world will be bringing Yidden from all over back to Eretz Yisrael. In opposite of what is trying to happen now, people try to prevent Jews from expansion in living in Eretz Yisrael. But it's going to happen the opposite. The nations are going to bring all Yidden to settle the land. And that's already taken care of. That's what's so gewaldic. Yidden have to know that Avram Avinu already took care of everything. The Pasuk uses the same word kivoy to tell us that the difficult work was done already. Now it's just it has to materialize. But Avram already had already been mesaken it as soon as kivoy, as soon as he's coming, the first Jews entering Mitzrayim, he's already mesaken to the very end of days, to the end of the coming of Mashiach. Okay, Avram has his whole long episode in Mitzrayim, and then the next story we have in the Torah, and we know, we spoke about this already in the previous class, I don't want to go over, how Avram's Yeridim to Mitzrayim was only an aliyah, it's all part of Parshas Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha means to journey, it's not, even though it looks like a regression, we're going down, we're going into exile, it's really a constant aliyah all along, as we see that Avram didn't lose anything when he went to Mitzrayim, sorrow wasn't harmed, it was returned to him. Not only that, Avram comes out a wealthy man, Rechush Gadol. Now the next episode, so I mean, this we discussed earlier, I don't want to go back to it, but now we see that Avram is coming out, and immediately the Torah tells us a story about Avram's companion, that Lot is somehow clinging with Avram. And we had already mentioned in the earlier classes that the accompaniment of Lot together with Avram Avinu is very, very important, because this is really where it's at. Because Lot, as we know, fathers Mashiach. He's going to have through his daughters, which we also discussed in a fascinating classes in the past, why it had to be Dafka Lot through his daughters. He was going to bring about Ammon and Moav, and Ammon and Moav are going to later father the Rus and Naama, who are going to be eventually included and marrying and becoming. Rus is going to be included at an earlier stage. She's going to be the grandmother of David the Melech. And Naama is going to come in and marry Shlomo HaMelech. And eventually, these are all going to be the mothers of Moshiach Tzidkenu. So we understand how crucial it was that the first Jew, Avram Avinu, as he's making his way and paving the path for all of history, that we have Moshiach coming along with him every moment. And that's all seen with Lot. But over here, the relationship between Avram and Lot is going to become very intense. So till now, okay, Lot is going along. Here is where we're going to find, suddenly there is some kind of hard feelings, harsh feelings. The two of them are not getting along with each other. There is a little quarrel. Now, the Pasuk says that the Vegam Lalot, and also Lalot, Ahoylech as Avram, that Lot that was coming up with Avram, Hayetzainu Bakar, he had Tzon Ubakar Ve'oyhalim, and he had tents. And the Medrash tells us, and we mentioned this in the earlier class, that the tents that it's referring to is referring to wives. Women are called a tent because they're the Akeres Abayis. And who are the women that he's... What are these tents? These are Rus and Naama. These are the tents of Rus and Naama. These are the tents that he's bringing along with him. In other words, even though he was materially wealthy, very wealthy, the real wealth that Lot had was the wealth the real wealth that Lot has was the wealth of Moshiach Tzidkenu. He had with him these very high sparks of holiness. And it's interesting, the word tzayin ubakar, which leads up to the word oyhalim, tzayin means sheep and bakar means cattle, and it leads up to the word oyhalim. The last letter of the word tzayin is a nun, the last letter of the word ubakar is a resh, seifei tevis, which means what's in the end. Whenever you have a seifei tevis, what's in the end of the sheep, and in the bakar, Naama and Rus, Tzayin Ubakar, Nun and Resh. Naama and Rus is Merumas, and the Oyhalim in the tents that the Medrash says is referring to these two tents. Okay, but here's something really fascinating. It says, V'loy Nasa Oysama Oretz Losheves Yachdov, that the earth did not facilitate to have them live together. Simply, it means that there wasn't enough pasture because they both had so much animals, so there wasn't enough pasture grazing lands, especially since they had to graze only in the hefker, in the land that didn't belong to anybody, only in the public parks, and they couldn't go and graze in any private domain because it was belonged to the Canaanim. So and that's why we're going to see that was part of the fight that happened. So therefore, there's a limited amount of grazing of pasture lands, and because of that, there was a fight, as we're going to see in the next pasuk. A quarrel broke out. Ki hayu rechushim rav, because their rechush, their fortune, their possessions, their estate was so big, v'lo yachlu l'sheves yachtov, they couldn't sit together. So let's crack open this pasuk and find unbelievable light, unbelievable Moshiach light right over here. It's interesting. It doesn't say v'lo nasa ha'aretz oisam ha'aretz. It doesn't say. mire ha'aretz. It should have said that it wasn't sufficient mire ha'aretz. Mire means the pasture of the land. It says v'lo nasa oisam ha'aretz, the land could not support them both. A more appropriate usage would have been mire ha'aretz, the pasture of the land did not support them both. And what is the double lashon? It couldn't support them to sit together. And the pasuk explains, ki haya rechusham rav, they had a big rechush, they had a lot of wealth, v'lo yachlu l'sheves yachdav, and they couldn't sit together. Well, yeah, he said it already. They couldn't live together. What's the repetition? So in Agra the Kala, which is a sefer from the Bnei Yisachar, which lately I'm fascinated by him. The Bnei Yisachar was one of the great talmidim of the Chayza from Lublin, the Rebbe of Dinev, great Chassidish Rebbe with unbelievable insight. So in Sefer Igra de Kala, he explains what this pasuk means. And he says, what's really going on over here is that Avram had just gone down to Mitzrayim. And Avram had, the point of Mitzrayim was, was, as we said earlier, it was to pave the way for the Jewish people to go down to Mitzrayim. But why did they didn't have to go to Mitzrayim? So in Chassidus it explains that the riches, the deposit of sparks of holiness that we need to rectify and elevate was in Mitzrayim. As we know, when the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, they took out 202 sparks. The total amount of sparks of holiness that became scattered in the world is Resh Pei Ches, 288. Whatever the reason why that number. It's hinted to in the word right at the beginning of creation. It says Va'aretz Hayisa Tayu Vavayu. The earth was a mess, was chaotic, and v'ruach alekim, and it says, and the spirit of God mirachefes al pnei amayim, was hovering over the waters or was floating over the waters. So the word mirachefes, the Arizal says, the word mirachefes is really made up of two words, resh pei ches mace, 288 died. It's referring to the 288 sparks of holiness that collapsed and fell down and became the source of all the ra and unholiness and klipa in the world. And our avodah is to clean up the mess. And the Alter Rebbe explains in a maimer in Torah Oyer and Parshas Vayeshev the maimer is called Vihine Anachnu Ma'al Memalumim. The Alter Rebbe explains that these 288 sparks eventually splinter into billions of sparks, small little parts. But really, it begins as 288 sparks, that mace that died, that we need to do a tikkun. In Mitzrayim, they had the largest deposit of these sparks of holiness. That's why there never was an empire that was as powerful and as strong as the ancient Egyptians. Later, we had strong kingdoms. We think the Romans were powerful in this, but no one ever came close to that dominion and that power that the ancient Egyptians has, and they had incredible knowledge of the sciences and the like because they had so much chayos, so much life. When we went out of Mitzrayim, it says, Vegam Erev Rav Olu Imahim. The Erev Rav went with them, the multitudes of nations that went along with them. The Arizal says it means the 202 sparks that the Jews extracted from Mitzrayim. Why did Mitzrayim get so many sparks? Just another very fascinating idea. When it speaks about the four rivers that went out of Eden, V'nahar, or when it speaks about, V'nahar, which we understand means the flow of life, the original flow of life that's flowing from Hashem into the world. So it says there are four rivers, and it says that the river that's the Nilus is called the river Pishain, and the Pasuk says, Sham Hazav, that's where the gold is, V'habdoilach, and the crystals. And other types of stones. So what is the pasuk really referring to? It's incredible. It's rich. The Nile River had the most chayos than all the other four rivers. And that's why the Jews had to go down and fix that first. And we're just cleaning up the leftovers that are in the rest of the world during all the other galus. And those neshamis that were given that task to fix that were the highest neshamis. They were the 600,000 root souls of all neshamis. Later, we're just details of those neshamis, because they had the biggest birur that they needed to do. So this all parenthetic. Now going back to the idea, the power that the Yidden had to elevate these sparks of holiness was all taken from their father Avram Avinu. Can you imagine what kind of an intense experience it was? When Avram went down to Mitzrayim, how powerfully intense that was, because he needed to extract the sparks of holiness from Mitzrayim and to enable the Jews to take it out. Now, included in the sparks of holiness that were in Mitzrayim was the spark of Mashiach Tzidkenu's neshama. Mashiach is also embedded in Mitzrayim. Originally in that klipa. But when the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, they took out the sparks of holiness and it was ready to be processed immediately into Kedusha. They built a Mishkan, we brought that wealth to Eretz Yisrael, we built a Beis HaMikdash. It became elevated, became included in holiness. But the spark of Mashiach needed some more purification. In other words, even though it's like we extracted a raw diamond from the earth, it still needed to go through various different tikkunim until it can come out pure, shining, and clean. And therefore, what happened was like this. When Avram went to Mitzrayim, when Avram comes out of Mitzrayim, he comes out with all the wealth, potentially, which later is going to translate in his children taking out the wealth in Mitzrayim. But Avram doesn't take everything. Lot also takes part of that wealth. Lot is part of that tikkun. Is that what's going on? Avram does the extraction. We pulled it out of the dark klipa of Mitzrayim, but it's still in the klipa. It's in the klipa of Lot, and it's going to hang around in Amon and Moav, which are two very, very dark nations. As we learned about a few weeks ago, that the darkness of Amon, in a sense, they're even worse than Mitzrayim. Because Mitzrayim can marry, after three generations, a Mitzri can marry a Jew. But a Amon and Moav, he can never marry a Jewish person. So Amon and Moav is like, but so what do you see? The spark of Mashiach was schlepped out from Mitzrayim. It became reincarnated into Lot. And now Lot is coming with Avram. Now, that's why it says Lot is so rich. That's what we're saying. Lot is coming, as we spoke earlier. He has Tzayin V'Bakar V'Ayahalim. And the tents that he's carrying are the tents of Mashiach Tzidkenu Rus. And that's that neshama. Now, here's an amazing thing. In order for a spark of holiness to be elevated back into the Jewish people, it has to go through Avram's neshama. Because Avram is the one who's called, he's interesting, Avram is the one who's called Av Hamoin Goyim. He's the father of nations. It's called Avraham. What does that mean? He is that vacuum. He's that suction. He pulls all the sparks through his neshama. It can be elevated into Kedusha. Because Avram is chesed. Chesed means love. And as the Alter Rebbe explains, the reason why, just understand this concept a little better, that everything has to go through Avram, is that the Alter Rebbe explains that the difference between Hillel and Shammai is that Hillel says things are kosher, and Shammai was very strict, and Shammai says always that things are not kosher. So the Alter Rebbe explains, because Hillel is chesed, and chesed, and the Shammas of Hillel come from chesed, and chesed draws things close, brings it in. Shammai was gevura, and that's why he rejected things. Something is kosher means you can draw it into Kedusha, you can bring it close, you can embrace it. So Avram is the ultimate source of embracing. So only Tzutzei Kedusha come through Avram. That's why every ger is called Ben Avram, because they're the children of Avram, they're drawn to Avram. So now the neshama of Mashiach also needed to come through Avram. And Avram elevates it into the Shechina. Okay? The neshama has to come into Tachas Kanfais HaShechina, into the Shechina, which means absorbed through Avram to Hashem. The Shechina is called Aretz. The Shechina is called land, earth. We spoke about this many times because the Shechina is the last attribute of the 10 attributes of Atzilus. The 10 attributes, Chachma, whatever. And the last and final attribute is Malchus. And Malchus is called Aretz because it's the last and final. There are many other reasons why it's called Aretz, but that's one of the reasons. Also, because the Shechina is the source of life, and the earth is the source of life. It gives life to everything. There's many reasons why Shechina is called Aretz. So that's what it's saying over here. Lot is coming with this treasure trove. He has Mashiach's neshama. But it's saying, V'loi nasa oisama aretz losheves yachtav. It doesn't say, remember we said, it doesn't say the mirah aretz, the pasture of the land, cannot hold it. It's saying, V'loi nasa aretz, the Shechina, the Aretz, the land, was not able to unify light with Avram. What's the union? What really needed to happen was that Avram should pull light in, suction him in, together with Mashiach Tzedkenu's neshama, and we're going to have the ultimate union of the highest neshama, Mashiach's neshama is going to come out of the klipa. It's going to come out of the darkness. And then we've done already like most of the tikkun, right? It's all done already. But the pasuk is saying that for whatever reason, the time has not come yet. That Avram and Lot should be able to sit together. And what would have happened if Avram and Lot are sitting together? Lot with Mashiach's neshama would have been absorbed in the aretz, in the earth, which is the Shekhinah. This neshama would have been liberated and freed from the clutches of the klipa. And can you imagine how the neshama was crying and begging and hoping that it would finally be redeemed from this darkness? Now the pasuk is saying, now yachtav together. The pasuk wants to explain why in the world would we want Lot and Avram to be together? I mean, what's the connection of Avram the tzaddik and Lot the Rasha? So the pasuk continues, "Kihaya ruchusham rav," that their estate was very, very big, very large. What does that mean? That they both had a lot of sparks. Avram had his whatever he took out of Mitzrayim, but Lot also had a great ruchush gadol. The ruchush gadol that says that Yidden went out, but ruchush gadol. Lot also had a large deposit. He had these powerful neshamas. So the ruchusham was rav, was very immense, but they were not able to combine right now. Now here's something really amazing that the Bnei Yisachar says. The word rechusham, is gematria 566. See, rechusham is their estate, their wealth, that they took from it, 566. That's the gematria of, you take the word chesed and the word malchus. Because let's think for a second. What does Lot possess? What is Lot holding? Lot is possessing within him the neshama of malchus, David HaMelech and Mashiach Tzedkenu, the ultimate kingdom. He's holding it. What is Avram? Avram is chesed. The wealth that they had, the combined wealth of rechusham, is the exact gematria of chesed and malchus. The only difference, he says, is chesed and malchus together is 568. Rechusham is 566. It's minus 2. Which means the word chesed is missing 1, and the word malchus is missing 1. And together they make, when you deduct from chesed 1 and from malchus 1, then you get the word rechusham. So in general, we spoke about this last time, a gematria can be off by 1. Here it's off by 2, but each word is off by 1. And that's how you have this gematria. What is the deeper meaning? The rechusham, the wealth that would have been combined over here, would have been the combination of malchus and chesed, which means that the neshama of Mashiach, that's malchus, would have been drawn in by chesed of Avraham, and it would have been l'sheves yachtav. They would have sat together. But veloy, and it would have entered into Aretz, into the Shekhinah, and everything would have been restored to its proper place. But since it wasn't time for it to happen, they couldn't sit together. Now, one more amazing idea that he says is that the word yachlu lasheves yachtav, they couldn't sit together. Yachlu. Now, it says velo yachlu. They were not able to sit together. The words yachlu lasheves yachtav is Rashi Tevis. It would help. By the way, I would like to tell everyone that's listening to the shir, if you have a chumash out while you're listening to the shir, it will always help you because you'll be able to follow things better. So for next week, don't try to get a chumash now because we're already concluding the shir, but for next week, try to have a chumash out when you're looking. And the words yachlu lasheves yachtav, the words yachlu lasheves yachtav, Rashi Tevis, is yud lamed yud, which is spells the word yali. Yud lamed yud spells the word yali. And the word yali he brings over there is one of the names of Hashem. Of the name, we know there's a name of Hashem called 72, Gematria Ayin Beis. And it's made up of a bunch of words, which I'm not going to get into right now. One of them is Yud Lamed Yud. And it says in Svarim that the word Yud Lamed Yud, that name is the name that's used to lift up somebody that has fallen. If a person falls down, you pick him up. Soymei Hashem L'chol HaNoiflim is through the Yud Lamed Yud name of Hashem. So here we're talking about a spark of holiness of Mashiach that needed to be lifted up, but did not get its chance yet. It came close. It came so close, but it couldn't be lifted yet. He says, that's why it says in the Pasuk, it says, Chazal say, when someone fell down, they use the word, Yahiv le yadei v'oikmei. He gave him his hand and he picked him up. That's what we do when someone is on the floor. We stretch out our hand. Yahiv le yadei is, again, spells yali at the beginning, which is to bend, to give someone, to stretch out the hand, to lift them up. So the word v'lo yachlu l'shev es yachdav is that at this point he could not lift this spark up. It still needed to work its way through light for a little bit until it can have its tikkun. Be'ezras Hashem, next week, this continues, this what we're just talking about, and we're going to see what got in the way that did not allow for this tikkun to happen right now. Why couldn't it happen? And that's going to be discussed in the next pasuk, Vayhi Riv, that there was a riv between a quarrel between Avram and Lot. Be'ezras Hashem, next week already in Yerushalayim, we're going to conclude this thing. Everybody should have a bracha a week, a mazel dig a week, and a Mashiach and Geula right now. Thanks.